The scripture today comes from Romans chapter 14, if you want to find that. I'm only going to read one verse of it here at the beginning because I'm going to read the whole thing later. Romans 14. And I'm going to read the verses 8 and 9 of the passage that we're going to be looking at. Romans 14, 8 and 9. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm sure you've noticed that every grocery store and every drug store is filled with aisle after aisle of candy, costumes, and colorful decorations. In 6 days, kids will parade up and down the streets in our neighborhoods disguised as their favorite characters, chanting trick-or-treat and holding out plastic bags or plastic pumpkins, hoping to collect vast amounts of candy on which to get sick to their stomachs. Now, for Christians, Halloween can be a confusing holiday. We hear a lot about Halloween from a lot of different sources, and many of those sources tell us to avoid it altogether because it's evil. And Halloween does have a dark side, to be sure, and yet it holds good memories for a lot of us as we remember our own childhood experiences of Halloween. You know, for me, it was, it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. We own that, and we like to get it out this time of year and watch it. The question every year as we approach Halloween is, should we as Christians participate in it? And if we do, are we accommodating to a godless culture? Should we perhaps aggressively denounce Halloween and warn people about its dangers? Now, I've done a lot of reading and study about Halloween. There are dozens of websites out there with information and disinformation. Everything you read on the internet is not true, even on Wikipedia. As is usually the case, the people who have the strongest feelings about it have the most out there for you to read. Isn't that always the way that it is? And those with the strongest feelings are usually the ones who passionately are opposed to Halloween. They take a very strong stance against Halloween on the grounds that it supports Satan worship and pagan gods. When we get word of this from our friends and neighbors who go to churches where this particular view of Halloween is promoted, it makes a lot of us uncomfortable. So what is the truth about Halloween? Is it sinful and evil, or is it innocent fun and games? Is it a problem for Christians, or is it a potential opportunity for us? So to answer these kinds of questions, let's start with a historical perspective on Halloween. First, the American celebration of Halloween is pretty unique. It's really not done this way anywhere else in the world. And it draws from Scottish and Irish folk customs because so many of us are descended from the Scots and Irishmen who came over in the 1700s. That's where the customs come from. Their customs can be directly traced back to pre-Christian times. Many of our Halloween customs are rooted in the ancient Celtic feast of Samhain. It's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but it's pronounced Samhain. Now, although our modern Halloween is usually a night of innocent fun and games, the pagan beginnings were not necessarily so cheerful. Originally, Halloween was a celebration of the Druids, who were the priests of the Celtic religion, in honor of Samhain, who was their lord of the dead. And his festival fell on November the 1st. The Druids believed that on the night before this feast, the Lord of the Dead called together the wicked souls who in the past 12 months had died and had been condemned to inhabit the bodies of animals. The Druids believed that the veil between the physical, visible world and the invisible, spiritual world was pierced at midnight on October the 31st. And when that veil was pierced, demons and witches and various monsters would come out to harass the living. Now, this kind of belief that there is a certain day or a time when the evil dead or the wicked or monsters can come out and harass the living was and is still pretty common among pre-Christian peoples. I hate calling them pagans. I like to think everybody's a pre-Christian who doesn't believe in Christ. It was common then. It's pretty common even today. If you go to Latin America or Asia or Africa where people don't yet know Jesus, there's still a belief that this kind of thing happens. People believe that at death, these pre-Christian people. The souls of the good people are taken to heaven by good spirits, but the souls of the wicked are left to wander the earth as ghosts or even to inhabit the bodies of animals. So along those lines, the Druids believed that on this one night of the year, the eve of Samhain, the spirits of the wicked dead returned to their homes. So you're kind of hoping, if you're a Celtic person, that you don't live in a house where somebody who was a wicked dead once lived. These spirits might be in the form of demons. They might be in the form of some kind of an animal, like a werewolf. They might be a goblin. Now, back in those days, people would disguise themselves on October the 31st as a ghost or a ghoul in order to protect themselves against these evil spirits. And if you think about it, it makes a little bit of sense. Let's say an evil ghost comes to your house on October the 31st. He sees you dressed as a ghost, thinks you're one of his buddies, and goes on to the next house. There's a certain kind of logic to it, isn't there? That's where the custom comes from of what on Halloween? Wearing costumes. Now, in those days, people also tried to ward off evil spirits by carving scary faces on various kinds of gourds that were illuminated with candles. And, of course, that would include the largest gourd, the pumpkin. So let's say a demon comes to your house. He sees the scary face on the porch of your house. He doesn't want to have any part of that, and he leaves. And where, of course, that's the custom where the jack-o'-lantern comes from. In order to placate evil spirits, people would also leave out a variety of treats in case they were hungry. The idea was a werewolf would come to your house. He would see a fruit basket on your porch. He would have an apple. And then he would decide, well, you're all right. You left him something to eat. He would not eat you. He would go on to the next house. But if the spirit didn't like what you had left out to eat, or if you forgot to leave something out, then he would place a curse on you and your home. What custom did I just describe? Trick or treat. Now, given the particular set of beliefs that these pre-Christian people once had, some of these customs make a certain amount of sense. If you believe like they do that these wicked dead can roam the earth on October the 31st, it makes a sort of sense. There's a logic to it. We don't buy into it, but if we were pre-Christians, it might make sense to us. Now, we don't believe in Samhain, the Lord of the Dead. If there is such an entity, he certainly is not an angel. He might be a fallen angel, but he certainly is not God or a god. We shouldn't fear evil spirits or monsters either. Whether we believe they're real or not, we shouldn't be afraid of them because Christ has defeated them all. Let me say that again, folks. You need to understand this. Christ has overcome evil once and for all, which means that even if you are killed by evil in this life, you have nothing to fear. No Christian should ever live in fear of an evil spirit or a monster. So to summarize, yes, Halloween has its origins in pre-Christian customs. And despite this, I think we can learn a lot from how the early church responded to this festival. As the church spread out from Rome and from Greece and the Middle East across Europe where these customs were believed in, how did the church respond to it? Well, many of these pre-Christian people and even the Druid priests converted to Christianity, but they still were very superstitious people. And by the way, that hasn't changed. It has been my experience that very few people ever shake their superstitions, even as Christians. I hear people all the time, Christians, man, it's Friday the 13th. You know? How many Christians do you know that have somewhat superstitious beliefs? Raise your hand if you either have or you know somebody that has some kind of a superstitious belief. We don't always get rid of these things. You know, we learn them when we're small children. Things were no different in those days. They kept some of these superstitions. Now, the leaders of the church back in those times were very wise. In order to establish a rival celebration and to educate all of the new believers who had been pre-Christians, they designated the Feast of the Lord of the Dead, the Feast of Samhain, instead as All Saints Day. November the 1st was named All Saints Day in the Christian church, and we still celebrate it today. Rather than fearing the wicked dead who had been condemned during the year, All Saints Day is a time to celebrate and honor all of the saints or Christian believers who had died in that past year. Do you see how the church took it and flipped it on its head? Forget the wicked dead. We don't care about them. We don't have anything to fear from them. We're going to honor and remember those who died in Christ on November the 1st. The worship service that was held the evening before was known as All Hallow Mass, Mass meaning worship, All Hallow Mass. And so October the 31st became known as All Hallow E'en, All Hallows Evening, and that's where we get the name Halloween. By the way, folks, the word hallow means holy. That's what we say. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. Literally, the word Halloween means holy evening. This was a word that the church came up with. Halloween is a Christian name. Halloween means holy evening, the night before All Saints. So All Hallows Eve was an attempt on the part of the early church to transform these pre-Christian traditions through the truth of the gospel. I think that's a very admirable thing to do. Let's get a biblical perspective then on Halloween. Obviously, you're not going to find the word Halloween in any Bible, just like you're not going to find the word Christmas in any Bible. There is, however, a scriptural reference that has a bearing on what we're talking about, and it's Romans chapter 14. Let me read from verses 1 through 9. Romans 14. This is the writings of the Apostle Paul. He says, accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Boy, we ought to all, this is one that we ought to have tattooed on our forehead and we look at it in the mirror every day. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything mustn't look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods mustn't condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. We can tattoo that one too while you're at it. It's not up to us to judge one another. Our master will judge us. With the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before they eat. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. Now, Paul is addressing two issues here that are relevant to what the way we think about Halloween. One thing he's talking about here is meat that had been sacrificed to pagan gods and the observance of holidays. Now, in Paul's day, there were a lot of Christians who, as I mentioned earlier, brought their superstitions with them into the church. Some of them had converted from pre-Christian religions. And even though they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Paul knew people who still believed in the gods of Roman and Greek mythology. They still believed that they were real. And they didn't believe that they had any power, but they did believe that they were real. So they refused to eat any meat that had been sacrificed to their gods. If you went to somebody's house and they had meat that had been sacrificed in the name of Zeus, these Christians would say, I can't eat that. Because if I eat that meat, that means that I am worshiping Zeus. Other Christians were more mature in their faith, and they realized that these gods, Zeus and Hermes and Athena, even if they were real, weren't gods and had no true power. And so eating meat that had been sacrificed in their name meant nothing. So they had no problem with it. So you can see that if they got together, these two groups, they might have some problems. Why are you eating that? Don't you know that you're worshiping Zeus when you eat that? Hey, what's wrong with you? Don't you know Zeus is not real? I can eat anything that I want to. Furthermore, there were Jewish Christians in the church who still wanted to celebrate the Jewish holidays. Hanukkah. Passover. While there were other Christians who believed that those holidays had been replaced by our Christian celebrations. Well, we don't need Hanukkah anymore. We have Christmas. We don't need Passover anymore. We have Easter. Do you see the problem? Why aren't you observing Hanukkah? I mean, it's in the Bible, Feast of the Dedication. It's in John 10. Because we don't do that anymore. We worship Jesus Christ. All of this controversy and disagreement among Christians led Paul to say in Romans 15, accept each other because Christ has accepted you so that God will be given the glory. Now, if we take these two examples and we put them together, we get a better biblical perspective on what to think about Halloween. Halloween, remember, means holy evening. It's a holiday. Yes, it was once dedicated to a pagan god. Now, some people have no belief or fear in ghosts or evil spirits, and therefore they have no problem participating in the modern celebration because it's nothing to them. It's make-believe. They don't wear costumes or they don't carve pumpkins to scare off evil spirits. How many of you in here do that? You carve a jack-o'-lantern and put it on your front porch to keep werewolves away. I don't. They don't leave candy out because they're afraid that a monster will come to their house and break into their house if they don't leave it out. To them, Halloween is all harmless fun. Of course, there are other people out there who believe that the origins of Halloween make it something in which Christians shouldn't participate. You see the analogy? Don't eat that food. It's been sacrificed to Zeus. Now, I believe Paul would tell us exactly what he told those Romans. If it bothers your conscience, then don't do it. Don't do it. On the other hand, if you can participate in Halloween in a way that honors Christ and glorifies God, as the early Christians did, then go for it. In either case, whatever you do, do it to glorify God. Now don't forget, you need to understand when we're talking about Halloween that the customs of our two most important Christian holidays, Christmas and Easter, also have their origins in pagan festivals. You probably know that already, don't you? You've all heard about Christmas trees and how Druids worship trees and that it's a pagan custom. I had a neighbor when I lived in Goldsboro. They didn't put up a Christmas tree for this reason. Don't you know the Druids worship trees? Are you worshiping? You know, when you put lights on your, I was told this. When you put lights on your tree and you stand around the tree and you sing Christmas carols, you're worshiping Druid gods. And I'm like, what? That's crazy. I'm not worshiping a Druid god. I don't even know what the Druid god's name is. I like the lights. They're pretty. The tree smells good. But it's a pagan. It was a pagan festival. We have transformed it, haven't we? It means something different to us. Many of those websites that I mentioned that are down on Halloween are also down on Christmas. Don't celebrate Christmas. You're not going to find the word Christmas in the Bible. He wasn't even born on December the 25th. Some of the same websites. And all the eggs, the pretty colored eggs and the butterflies and all that at Easter, that's all pagan, folks. It's all from pagan spring celebrations. But like Halloween, the Christian church has claimed these pagan festivals as its own and has transformed them, turned them on their heads in such a way that they now glorify and honor Jesus Christ. I think it's brilliant on the part of the church to have done this. Once these holidays were a problem, but now they are an opportunity to lift up Jesus Christ. Halloween doesn't have to be any different. Pastors and preachers are always encouraging Christians to use Easter and Christmas as opportunities for outreach. So I suggest we do the same thing for Halloween. So let's look at a practical perspective on this holiday. In my opinion, the worst thing we can do on Halloween as Christians is to turn off our lights, lock our door, and pretend that nobody's home. That's the worst thing we can do. Jesus said that his purpose in coming to earth was to seek and save the lost. And that is our mission too. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5:16, Jesus says this, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So instead of pointing the finger of blame at Christians who celebrate Halloween, number one, the people who do that ought to go back and read Romans 14 and remember what it says. Instead of being afraid of evil, instead of being fear-mongers with our own children and teaching them to be terrified on October the 31st, well, honey, I'm not going to let you go out because somebody might kidnap you and use you for a satanic ritual. Instead of doing that kind of thing, why don't we let our lights shine instead? Here are a few suggestions on how we can use Halloween as a way to glorify Jesus Christ. Number one, don't turn out the lights and ignore it. Halloween is not going to go away just because we turn our lights off and lock our doors. So if you don't support the holiday, determine some way that you can turn a negative into a positive. Number two, if you're staying home, buy some candy, answer the door, and when you put candy in the children's bags, include some information about your church. You want some? We'll give you some to put in. We have at least two neighbors in our neighborhood that do that very thing. They put little informative pamphlets about Jesus Christ in their kids' bag. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Their heart is in the right place. Number three, if you have kids, don't take the fun away from them. Go trick-or-treating with them. I mean, how often is it that you can go from door to door on a day when just about everybody that answers the door is going to be relatively pleasant to you? How often is that the case? Most of the time when you go door to door, people don't want you there, do they? Instead of playing scary music, play some Christian music. Have a Halloween party. Tell everybody to come as a biblical character. Buy a pumpkin and carve a cross in it. I've seen some of those. I love them. With a cross and the light coming through it to symbolize that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And believe me, if you're wanting to scare off evil spirits, that's a good one. Put a cross and a pumpkin. Pray for the safety of the children who are going to be out on that night. But more importantly, pray that that night will be a night in which the gospel can go out as well. And that through God's work on that night, that some lost soul somewhere can come to know Jesus Christ. Now, I know there are always people who are going to use Halloween for evil purposes. There are going to be kids who vandalize houses or cars or businesses, kids who experiment with Ouija boards or witchcraft. That sort of thing doesn't make Halloween inherently evil. Believe me, people would do that even if we didn't have Halloween. They would use Ouija boards and they would experiment in witchcraft. And it just the things that we do just reveals that we have a sinful nature. You know, these pictures here are not from Halloween. They are from a celebration after a championship. I think this is when the Detroit Pistons won the NBA championship. You know, this is kind of what Hillsborough Street looked like in 1983 when NC State won their last basketball championship. I didn't go. Cars were burned. The windows were broken at the library. They pulled furniture out and burned it. People are looking for an excuse to do this. Halloween is not why they're doing it. Sinful people are going to use every excuse to do sinful things. As Christians, our job is to be agents of transformation, turning opportunities for evil into occasions for good. Now, what would Halloween look like if we reclaimed it for Christian purposes? What might we be expressing to the world? Well, in our culture, Halloween traditionally allows us to look at the things that frighten us. I mean, right now they're running scary movies on a lot of channels, aren't they? Why? To experience things that scare us, to laugh at them, and to come through it and say, wow, I'm glad that was just make-believe. That's why we tell scary stories. That's why we watch creepy movies during this time of year. It's a safe way for us to contemplate the worst that life has to offer, isn't it? But it also gives us an opportunity to make fun of the devil. And you know, this can be a good thing. At the beginning of the book, The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, he includes two quotations. The first one is from the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther. Listen to what Martin Luther says. The best way to drive out the devil if he won't yield to Scripture is to jeer and flout him, for he cannot bear scorn. You understand, the devil has no sense of humor. He's deadly serious about everything. The second quote comes from Thomas More. The devil, the proud spirit, cannot endure to be mocked. He can't stand it. The one thing Satan can't bear is to be the source of our laughter. His pride is undermined by the knowledge that his rebellion against God, if you think about it, is pretty ridiculous. You're doing what? You're rebelling against God, the infinite creator of the... He made you, and you're rebelling against him? What sense does that make? You can't beat God, Satan. And in fact, through Jesus Christ, you've already lost. He can't stand to be reminded of that, how foolish he is. So he hates our laughter. He wants always to be taken seriously. And I would say that those people who spend their Halloween filled with fear over what evils might be and sometimes are taking place could very well be doing the thing that he wants them to do. By giving him that kind of respect, believers are acting as if he has the same kind of authority as God. Now, not all believers, I'm going to say this, should be celebrating Halloween or taking part in it. Some of us, maybe somebody in this room, has been redeemed from an occult lifestyle or maybe even from ritual abuse. It does happen. And for those people, Halloween may be a very painful reminder of them, of what once enslaved them. And as Paul says in Romans 14, for those people, that sensitivity may be appropriate for them. They're kind of like the people who won't eat the meat that's been sacrificed to an idol. But it's not necessarily appropriate for us all to have that kind of attitude towards Halloween. Making the opinions of those who have been abused the norm for all of us is kind of like us not ever celebrating Father's Day or Mother's Day in the church because some of us had bad childhoods. That doesn't make sense, does it? Let's take back Halloween, Christians. Let's have a good time, and let's have a good time at Satan's expense. So although I understand where the anti-Halloween party is coming from, I disagree with them. I think to some extent that they have forgotten that in Jesus Christ there should be no fear. And honestly, folks, people have been going after holidays before. Back in the 1600s, because it had pagan roots and because it was a Catholic holiday at that time, folks, Christmas, M-A-S is for Mass. That's a Catholic word. Christmas. Because of that, the Puritans decided that no true believer should ever celebrate Christmas in any way. And to make their point, in the 1620s, when the pilgrims got over here, they unloaded the Mayflower on December the 25th to make the point to the crew that they were not going to observe such an evil day. I'm glad they failed. How bleak and desolate would our December be without our opportunity to come together and celebrate Christmas. We would have lost our chance to celebrate Christ's first coming. We would have lost our chance to witness to the world about the wonders of Jesus Christ, just as those pilgrims blew their opportunity to witness on December the 25th to those sailors who sailed that ship. Let's not forfeit Halloween to the world. Let's not condemn the rest of our society to a dark, evil October the 31st because let's not condemn the rest of society to that because our laughter and our fun is not there to annoy the devil. In her book, Grow Something Besides Old, inspirational writer Laurie Beth Jones talks about one Halloween night when she had underestimated the number of kids who would come for trick-or-treat. You ever done that? She ran out of candy. So in desperation, she got in her change jar and she began giving out quarters, nickels, and dimes, which is not a bad idea. One little girl who was probably 5 years old and dressed up as a fairy princess came to her door. She had the little crayon and the little wand and everything. And Laurie Beth dropped two quarters in her sack and said to her, "Honey, I'm out of candy, but tomorrow you can take those to the store and you can get real candy." And the little girl looked up at her and said, "Lady, this ain't a real wand." The only real spiritual power in this world belongs to God. The powers of evil have nothing that can change your ultimate destiny if you hold fast to Jesus Christ, if you take refuge in Him. So don't be afraid. No matter how scary life becomes, in Jesus Christ, God has overcome. In the end, the trick is to treat Halloween as a chance to celebrate God's goodness rather than a time to fear a spiritual force that's already been defeated. So let's let October the 31st and every day be a day of celebration and witness to the love and the beauty and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.